July 25th, 2016 meeting of the Chicago State University Special Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Just for everyone's information, we plan for the executive committee to meet today. And that's why we're in Trustee Zoller's office. Pursuant to the Open Meetings Act, anytime there's more than two of us meeting at the same time, it has to be treated like a board meeting and notice was posted. So, Ms. Phillips, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Curtin?
Here.
Trustee Wake?
Here.
Trustee Zoller?
Present.
Trustee Gibbons?
Here. A quorum exists for the business of the committee to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that notice of this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meeting Act?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about that. Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and Academic Library buildings.
Okay. And at this time, I would entertain a motion to recess into executive session.
So moved.
I second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes. Is Jody downstairs?
She's gone.
Oh.
Where'd you like this to?
You can sit right there.
That's the hot seat. You can sit anywhere else.
No, take this one. Everybody else has had to sit in a hole.
So people are looking at the cameras to see if they're actually valid, the tickets, the red light violations.
Well, we have reviewers.
Okay. What percentage turn out not to be valid?
It depends on the community.
Okay. I hope my car's not.
I mean, we don't do City of Chicago.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Can you push that to me, please? So I get it out of your way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Philip Beverly, Faculty Senate President, Criminal Justice Philosophy and Political Science Department Change. I had four quick points I wanted to go over. One, 5 seconds, the Senate wants to renew our request to terminate the exigency, and we sent that letter to you, just wanted to be on the record for that. Second, I've talked to some of my colleagues, and there's some concern about the sanction, the HLC sanction, and it comes in two flavors. One is sort of internal, and that was a concern over our absence in planning. But secondly, external, how are we going to pivot and message that appropriately so it doesn't feed into the narrative that we're closing, because that continues to be the consistent narrative. Oh, CSU's closing, and then they see sanction, and then it's like, no, we need to combat that message. So there's that concern. The third issue was around potential audit findings, and I say potential. There's no definitive thing about this yet, but because of the key turn-in and the property control issues, we want to make sure that we don't come up with any audit findings given the number of employees that we had to let go earlier this year. And I know that there have been some issues around that. We've got to be on top of that, because that would be shooting ourselves in the foot and getting findings that we really don't need to get. So however we can clean that up proactively, I think would be helpful. And then lastly, some enrollment concerns and a hope. So the concern is we have an interim vice president, and I believe he is now the fifth VP for enrollment management that we've had since 2009. And so we haven't had the continuity that we need in enrollment management. So we've got to establish some continuity there, because enrollment is our lifeblood. And I think the university is feeling sort of oxygen deprivation, if you will, because our lifeblood is getting choked off. We've got to do a better job at that. the thing that faculty are concerned about is faculty involvement in the enrollment management process, and that's normally around admission standards and that. I know we, Bob has done some work on looking at our cohorts. We get hammered on our graduation rate just about every year, and there's no reason for us to get hammered on our graduation rate. It's a crappy calculus. It is. The Department of Education formula for calculating that rate does not serve us. It never has. It's not going to serve our population. It's always going to hurt us. So we have to game the system. I can't believe I'm saying this on the record, but we have to game the system. And there's a couple ways we can do that, but faculty have to be involved in that discussion. So I know I'll introduce myself to our new interim VP and say to him, look, we got to get this enrollment thing better because it's going to help our retention. That's going to help our graduation. That's going to create positive press. We need the positive press. I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, I didn't sign up, but just to follow up on that, if we can just get that enrollment number up to the point where it's not problematic, that'll get everybody off the bus. If we could have a year where we had a 60% graduation rate, which I think is possible. I do. I think it's possible. Obviously, it's going to require that we really support the students. We may have to make some hard decisions in terms of admissions, because there are lots of people out there who are brilliant students who could come to school here that would make it through, not just in 6 years, but probably in four years. But, you know, sometimes life intervenes, as you know, with our students, and we need to support them. So I have to echo what Phil said in the sense that if we take a smaller cohort and we really support them and we get them through, that is going to take a lot of pressure off of us. And it is a completely unfair way to measure our production.
Are we doing the type of job necessary to encourage Chicago Public Schools as a feeder into the university? Is there something that we are not doing from your perspective to increase the numbers from the Chicago Public the graduation rates?
Can I follow up there with how you mentioned the faculty? So my question is, how involved would the faculty want to be in terms of the actual recruiting process? Well, I'll leave those two questions out there.
Okay, I'll come to your second.
Right.
My observation is we took a hit to our infrastructure to be able to make the outreach that you're talking about, and so we've got to make a commitment to rebuilding our enrollment management infrastructure so that we have the people who do. It's essentially a relationship business, and we need to have the relationships with the counselors in high schools and with the principals in those high schools, that we aren't a second or third thought for them when they're talking to their students about going to college. The CPS has a rule, process, procedure that they require all their graduating seniors to apply for college. And so CSU ends up on a lot of applications just as a default because they have to do that. But the actual relationship building part, I don't know that we're necessarily doing that as well more recently, because we just don't have the people anymore. And so I think the administration's got to make some hard decisions about where we put people, and we need $50,000 a year admissions counselors over maybe $150,000 administrators if you have to make those kind of calls.
So would you be interested in doing something like that formally, working in enrollment management? Because you know the person we have there is interim.
Boy, that's an interesting question.
You seem very enthusiastic and very pro the university. And let me say this, too. I just happened to have had the opportunity to meet the president of Howard University recently. And, of course, Howard had very similar issues. They do not have the issues anymore because he And I don't know where he got this, but he devised a program, maybe it was devised somewhere else, where they offer the students full tuition reimbursement for anything that the student hasn't paid. So let's say they get MAP, but they then have to pay other monies. Any money that the student themselves came up with, if they graduate within 6 years, they cover that funding. And they have seen a complete turnaround in their numbers. I mean, so I have spoken to our president about that, about moving some, looking into that, moving things like that forward, and us talking to other universities and finding out. I mean, I think it's kind of this way everywhere. So, but, you know, what are other universities doing? How are they looking, etc.? And to get back to my first question, which you don't have to answer now.
Off the top of my head, I would say formally no for this reason. There are a lot of talented people who do enrollment management. A friend of mine is actually...
Why don't we find them then?
A friend of mine is the vice provost at UIC who does that. And I went to see him one day and he gave me, no kidding, the enrollment management Bible. There's a book published, I think, from a guy at University of Indiana University that everybody in the industry uses. And I thought, this is pretty complicated. I'm out of my depth here in terms of the technical knowledge. Mm-hmm. I have the desire to push this thing. Just having been there for so long, I see what's possible when it works and what we can turn out in 4 to 6 years. And you're right, the money is critical. So many of my students will get on a roll, life intervenes, and it throws them off. And it becomes more of a struggle than trying to catch up.
Right.
And it's so unfair to them when at other schools they've got resources to be able to support. And I wish we had those kind of resources.
The data is vitally important, though. And I think that when you look at the data, I know that my wife teaches at DePaul as what would be a lecturer in our system, and they actually have a sort of measure for what's problematic. In other words, if you have two incompletes in the first semester, your chances of not making it are dramatically improved, or decrease. And so what they do is they work very closely with the faculty to identify people who may be having problems. And one of the things that I think, again, I would be happy to work alongside the people over there. I don't want to have a job there because I prefer to teach, but I'll be happy to put as much time as is necessary into doing something like that. I mean, I'd be delighted to do that. But we have to get that information to the faculty. We don't know, even in our departments, who our full-time, first-time freshmen are.
Right.
We don't.
And so we can't put hands on them
right away. We don't. Not unless we make the effort to actually look at the university information. No, we don't. There's nothing that we get when somebody comes in, when somebody's admitted, that says, this is a first-time, full-time freshman. They're in this cohort. And we need to make sure that, you know, we
eyes on them.
Absolutely.
So it would be good to have some type of liaison between faculty and enrollment
management. Yes.
And the suggestion also that I'm hearing is to answer the chairman's, I don't want to put words in your mouth, to answer the chairman's question would be that faculty could then support those students that look like they are having a difficult time.
Yes. And can I would just like to say this, because I think that one of the things that, this is going to be kind of paradoxical, but I'll say it anyway. When we take students who are not prepared to come to college, and they don't make it, we're doing our jobs. we are protecting the academic integrity of the institution. It's one of the ways to do it. It's a tough way to do it, and it damages us publicly. But you don't get this idea that somehow academics at Chicago State are substandard. That's nonsense. You don't pass our classes unless you do the work. That's just all there is to it. So, and I think that a lot of the students respond very positively to that. I've had two of the most brilliant students I've ever seen in my life at this school, one from South Shore and the other was an ex-gangbanger. They just would blow you away. They could do PhDs in their sleep. So they're out there. We need to bring them here. One of the problems we've had is out of our control, and that's the problem with teacher preparation, education. The state of Illinois has made it extremely difficult to get people through teacher preparation programs. That was at one point our bread and butter.
And I remember when that just happened in the last couple of years.
Just about three or four years ago. And we've had just an incredible decrease in the number of people in the College of Education. And it's really hurting us.
Really suffering.
It's really hurting us. Yikes. And it's terrible because you can't go out into Chicago and not find somebody who has been touched by this university.
That's right.
Honestly, all over the city. So, you know, and now the... what we did best, we're not able to do as much because there are fewer students. They made the tests more difficult. The jobs in the city of Chicago, as you know, are extremely difficult to get and to keep. And that's where most of our students got jobs. So there's been just this tremendous decrease in the number of people. And what's really hurt us, believe it or not, is... among the group of people who have degrees, they've worked for a few years, whatever, they want to come back and teach. These are certification-only students. They're not getting bachelor's degrees and certification. They've already got that, and that's our bread. That was our bread and butter. And that's our quintessential student. These are people 35, 40, 45 years old, a lot of women, and they want to come back, they want to be teachers. And now that avenue is... it's not closed, but it's severely restricted.
Wow. Lane closures.
What was the reason for that, if you know?
One of the things that the state of Illinois did was that they... They recalibrated...
Make sure you get your ticket stamped, Spencer. I hope you heard.
They recalibrated the so-called test of academic proficiency, which is the entry... exam you have to take to get admitted to a teacher program. They reduced the pass rate statewide from something like 70% to about 29%. That was the first thing. Students now have to, and again, this is the state of Illinois. I find this just absolutely disgusting because I do teacher preparation in my program. Students now have to submit a portfolio to a private company who evaluates the portfolio and tells us whether they're satisfactory to get certification. And this portfolio costs about $300. And then that's two. We're no longer making the judgment. The final judgment is sort of farmed out to, and it's NCS, and you don't want NCS deciding who's fit to teach. I got to tell you,
that's really interesting.
And you also have a governor who, in his previous life, said that half the teachers in Chicago are
illiterate.
Absolutely. Well, again, but
although I didn't disagree with his statement that the kids were in crumbling prisons.
I did not disagree with that.
That's true.
Have any of you gone to high schools in the city?
I want to tell you two things. My children went to Chicago public schools, and my husband and I would fundraise or just build the playgrounds for them myself, because we drive up and it's just glass in a parking lot and kids playing there. We bought all the books for every classroom. we put the toilet paper in the washrooms in order to support the Chicago public schools and our children in them. I mean, I couldn't just, like, hand my child over and she couldn't go to the bathroom. And the second thing I want to say is that that daughter grew up and went to Washington University. That's from where she graduated, in St. Louis. But there was a time when she came home from school, because my mother-in-law and I were in a car accident, thus the red light camera business. We were hit by some people who ran a red light camera and almost killed my mother-in-law. My daughter came home to help me take care of my mother-in-law. And she went to CSU while she was home. She didn't want to lose ground. And she told me the best professors she ever had were at CSU, bar none.
And she went to Washington.
And she went to Washington. She graduated. Yeah, she had been there, and she came home for the year to help me. And she went back to school, and she said, by far, the best professors and the most interesting classes she ever had were at CSU.
I'm not at all surprised. I went to San Francisco State. I got a bachelor's and master's there. I did my PhD at Iowa. Nothing I did at Iowa was more challenging than what I had done at San Francisco State. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. And the professors there were nowhere near as supportive as the professors at San Francisco State had been. So, yeah, it's not surprising. We have personal contact. I know every student in our program.
Right.
I was leaving the building the other day, and a guy said to me, "Hello, Ms. Zoller," and I said, "Hello, do I know you?" And he said, "No, but I had your brother in my class."
Right.
And I said, "Oh, you taught my brother?" And he went deep into my family business because he said, "Your brother really needed a lot of support." He said I was there to help him and so on and so forth. So
the irony of the way that folks are being really restricted from going in these education programs across the board is that out in the field, you got all of these uncertified teachers working in the schools and in the city, especially, you know, Teach for America types.
You mean the alternative certification routes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And you also have uncertified teachers working in private schools. I mean, there's no requirement that you have state certification to work in private
schools. But you got all of these barriers for getting in schools of education at the same time. It's the illogic of that.
Yeah. But this is, I have 2 years left. I'm retiring in 2 years. And in that 2 years, I'll do whatever I have to do to keep this school going and then to help it flourish. I mean, I just...
Good.
I've got one o'clock up at
1:35. Reverend
Hatch,
thank you so much.
All right, all the best. You too.
Before you go, Reverend, you want to make the motion to adjourn?
Oh.
So moved.
Second it.
Okay. Yes. Yes, trustee. Young.
He already said yes.
Okay.
I'll travel with Bonnie anyway. All right.
Reverend, did you get your...
I'm going to get it from the
okay, if you drove...
Appreciate it, trustee. Always. Thank you. Thank you for listening to us. Appreciate that. No, thank you very much. You just got to continue to fight that narrative. We are not closing. End of. And I've heard it in just bizarre places. And I'm like, where'd you hear that?
We talked about that today a little bit.
The school can't close.
No.
We can't. We close.
The technical aspects of trying to close a public university make it almost impossible.
It just...
Right, and it will not, because we're going to just...
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You kind of look like... Were you there when Monica was there?
No.
Oh, let me get Peter to tell us about that.
Is that a good thing?
Okay.